Welcome to Street Talk Theology with Pastor Dominic Grimaldi. Pastor Dom went from a life of organized crime to federal prison. There, God saved him and set him free. Soon after his release, he attended seminary and received his master's degree and is now the senior pastor of Desert Sky Baptist Church, where he serves with a passion for biblical theology right here in Casa Grande. Now let's join our host, Pastor Dominic Grimaldi.
This is Pastor Dominic Grimaldi here with Street Talk Theology. We take theology and we bring it to the streets. I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Michael Teddy. But it's always good to be with you guys. Give me a shout out, Pastor Grimaldi at Gmail. Michael, let people know who you are. I'm sure they know anyway, but we'll tell them again anyway.
Yeah, sure. It's good to be back again on a podcast with you. And so my name is Michael. I serve as the preaching pastor here at Redemption Hill Church, way down in the southern tip of India, in the state of Kerala. And so if you're ever traveling to India, make sure to come by. And we'd love to host you and have you with us and fellowship with you. And so we are a small church. We have about 20 people attending the church right now. We try to do a lot of work as much as we can in terms of putting out gospel-centered resources, spreading the word about the gospel. And it's just a joy and to be able to even do this podcast. So if you want to reach us, you can reach us at redemptionhill.india@gmail.com, or you can email me at michaelteddy@gmail.com, and we'd love to hear from you.
You know, we were talking last week about is salvation a feeling, and you know, some days you don't feel saved, and Paul, we know, struggled with sin, and then when we're talking about this, you know, that who can deliver me from this body of death, right? And yeah. You know, I read in a commentary, I don't know which commentary it was, and I don't know this to be historical, but it may be, because I've seen two people, and I don't even know if you heard this, and I didn't even go over this with Pastor Michael. But I think Paul, being a Roman citizen, they say the metaphor there is that the Roman government, when they were going to put somebody to death, they would actually strap a dead body around someone who was almost ready to die, and that the rigor mortis from that body would actually kill that person that they're putting to death. It would be a terrible death, you would think. And Paul, from what I heard, that would be the metaphor. This sin is this body of death that's tied to you. And if that actually happened in the Roman days, what a picture of sin. I mean, Paul, right? I mean, I don't know if you ever heard that before, Pastor Michael, but whether it's true or not, if Paul had that in his mind, think about what Paul is saying there, this body of death that's tied on another body, if that's the case, this sin will actually kill you unless there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus, right? So just think of, just maybe you can expound on that if you ever heard that metaphor before.
Right. No, I've not heard that metaphor specifically, but even as you're stating that, I think one of the things that when we talk about always understanding a text within its context, right? Amen. And there is a sense in which, so I remember once when I was hearing this preacher preach on the prodigal son, the story of the prodigal son. He went into a deep hermeneutic of unraveling the text in such a way that it ended up that the whole point of the prodigal son has only to do with the elder brother.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Right, and the elder brother's response. And so what happened was, in doing so, he lost a balance at some level, right? And the prodigal son didn't matter anymore at all. You know, there was nothing, there's no joy there, there's no hope there, there's no scope there. That's not at all what's the point, and that's not at all what the text is talking about. And there's a way in which you can go on a hermeneutical tangent by which you lose the context that you tried to pick on. You lose the text, you lose what's clearly there. And so we want to always make sure that when we study a text, we're trying to read it. We're going to look at the plain intention, plain meaning of the text. And then when we bring in historical context, we want to make sure that historical context does not overrule the broader biblical context.
Amen.
So when Paul talks about the body of death, you know, for a person who's reading through the scripture, it's not too difficult from, you know, we've got Romans 6 where Paul talks about the old self, right? Our old self being crucified with Christ. He talks about, you know, that we are the first fruits of the Spirit, groaning inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. So there's language all over in those areas, which kind of tells us that there is a sense in which this is a body of the flesh, a body of death, a body made, you know. And so the historical context will, like you try to understand that, it will always support the clearer vision of the text.
Yeah.
And the vision of the text is very clear in the sense that there is a conflict between what my flesh wants and what my spirit wants. And my spirit is renewed in Christ. It's alive. It's born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so my spirit wants to glorify God. My flesh wants to wage
yourself.
War. Yeah, glorify yourself and wage war against the Lord. And so when that conflict happens, Paul's calling it the body of death. And, you know, who can save me? How wretched am I? And the solution is Christ. He alone can save.
You know, when I was thinking about the prodigal son, I don't know if you're familiar with Gordon Fee. Gordon Fee's got to be up in his 90s right now, but he was a scholar. He's and a good preacher, a really good preacher. I remember I was listening. It almost stopped me. Well, I don't want to get dramatic, stopping me in my tracks, but I remember he preached a sermon on the prodigal son, and he ended the sermon in a dramatic way, and I think that really hit home. He said, okay, think about this. Think about if the prodigal son came home to the elder brother and the father was dead, let's just say. You talk about there would be no grace, there would be no mercy, there would be nothing. And that's, and then he said, in closing, he said, that's us. That's who we think, because now that, because we're saved by grace and this and that, we think we, you know, we have to be careful. We have to remember where we came from. And that was his hermeneutic on that. And I think it was, you know, and again, we can't make parables stand on, you know, they don't stand on a lot of they kind of have a sting in the tail. Well, that was a sting in the tail. He says, because really, he says, imagine if the prodigal would have came home to the elder brother. What chance he would have had? You know, and he says, that's who we are today. We as the church here, say in America, whatever he was at that time, he was in Canada, in Regent Seminary, if I'm not mistaken, and teaching. He says, but at the end of the day, are we the older brother? Are we going to be quick to condemn somebody coming home in their sin and things like that? So maybe a thought on that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think for most Christians, their favorite theologian in the Bible is Paul, because Paul's given us almost, you know, 3/4 of the New Testament. And Paul's a great theologian. But I wonder if we lived in those times, whether we would even accept Paul's testimony, because he imprisoned Christians. He, you know, so he's ministering to people whom he hurt in terrible ways, right? And he's responsible for, in one way or another, for Stephen's death. How did he live with that? You know, he has a plausible theory. It's a theory I love, but it's a plausible theory. When Luke says that Stephen had the face of an angel, I wonder if Luke ever met Stephen, or is Luke saying that because Luke is Paul's physician and that's Paul's description of Stephen?
Wow.
Did Paul live the rest of his life talking about Stephen as the seed that God used to bring Paul to where he is, and he had the face of an angel. Did Paul live the rest of his life knowing that he was responsible for the death of a young man who had the face of an angel?
Yeah, that, great point. That's,
yeah, that's maybe how we thought of it. And so the point is, when Paul comes to faith, there are people who reject his ministry throughout his life. They're not willing to accept it. They want to cause him harm. They want to, you know, they, and the reason they are hostile to him is because of the hurt he caused. And that's what this parable addresses. The elder brother is hurt because of the way the younger brother has squandered the wealth that was hard earned by the father. He has squandered his inheritance, squandered the family name. He's brought ill repute to the family. Mm. And he's done all of those things, and now he wants forgiveness. Now, you know, he recognizes his mistake. Why should we accept him? Right? And the gospel is, you accept him because Jesus, the way Jesus accepts us is, you know, we have the picture of the father who is looking at the son coming, and he runs out, you know, of his house and out the gate and meets him in the path and hugs him and receives him. What Jesus did for us while we were yet sinners is he ran from his house, leaving the glories of heaven behind, came in human flesh and went up to the cross. I heard this preacher preach, Jesus was more willing to go to the cross than most Christians are willing to go to church.
Oh man, good stuff.
Right? Good stuff. And so he came down for us. He died for our sins. So when we look at someone like Paul, or even in our own lives, we're looking at somebody who's done us much harm, who has hurt us, who has, you know, brought a lot of problems and ill reputation, all sorts of stuff. And they actually come to the faith. The gospel that saved us demands that we not be like the elder brother.
Yeah.
That we take the counsel of the father who says, all that is mine is yours. But do you not see? My son was lost, but now is found.
Praise the Lord.
He was dead, but now he's alive again. And so that's the heart of the gospel. And we who have been saved by that gospel have to be a people who believes that gospel.
Yeah. So I want to switch gears for a second. So, with me, Pastor Michael, around, we don't really plan anything. We have no, you know, we just talk. Yeah. But I don't know if, Michael, you heard, this is kind of switching gears with a little bit. I don't know if you heard that there was a leaked document that came out of the Supreme Court. I think it was yesterday or the day before. And again, I didn't even discuss this with Pastor Michael today, but it looks like they are going to overturn Roe v. Wade and the Casey decision, and the implementation of that, or the of doing that, and it looks like that's going to happen. And the reason, so I'm going to ask Michael. Pastor Michael, I don't know. Obviously, the one leaked it wants to stir up some stuff. Obviously. I'd like to know the mind of that person that leaked it, but that's a story for another day. But I think about that, and all this would do would put it back on the states, obviously. But in, you know, Arizona, which is by God's grace still a conservative state, I don't know how long it's going to be conservative, but I think abortion, if that's the case, if it holds up, would be illegal here. But any, you know, looking from afar, now I don't know what the laws are in India with this, so this is all new territory, and we only got about maybe 15 minutes, and that's okay. So again, this is how me and Pastor Michael do it. I just was thinking about this as he was talking. So first of all, you did nod your head, so you heard what I said. So. Yeah. Maybe you can talk to me about that a little bit and give me your theological implementation on that. And how is it in India concerning protection of the unborn? And I wouldn't know that, or if it's the same or different, or Right. So please.
So yeah, I did follow up on it. I did hear about it, and yeah, you know, if Roe versus Wade, you know, if things go in favor of, you know, our hopes that, you know, we can move into, you know, criminalizing or even removing abortion, making abortion illegal, maybe we are living in a post-millennial world.
Yeah, I know. But Ashok, if Ashok hears this, he'll be jumping up and down, right?
Yeah. So it came as a pleasant news that there was something like this happening, and it is good. So in India, as far as I understand it, I don't believe that abortion is legal. We don't have facilities like Planned Parenthood here. But India has a lot of abortions. I think it's of, I'm not, now don't quote me here, but the last I checked, I think we're talking about 15 million a year.
Wow. Yes. Yeah, so in other words, but they would be more of illegal abortions, right, Pastor Michael?
Right. Right. So what happens is not all parts of India have great health care, right? And there's a lot of poorer regions of the society that don't have access, so there's a lot of things that happen under the books. There's a lot of things that go missing. Typically, you know, as far as I understand it here, we don't have a legal source for abortion. But at the same time, a lot of it does happen. And I've not seen a lot of Christian ministry here that's fighting it. It's not at the forefront of most of the battles. We're new to it as a church here as well, trying to look at what's happening there and trying to figure out what is happening here, what can we do about it. But it's not of the order of stuff happening in the U.S. Stuff happening in the U.S., from looking from afar, there is such a blind hostility towards God in this regard. I mean, fighting for the unborn shouldn't be so complicated, right? But there's a whole lot of damaging feminism, yeah, that centers around the woman having the right over her own body. Which, you know, we don't mind women having right over their own body, but that's not your body. There's another human being inside of you, and the children are a gift from the Lord, a heritage, the Psalms tells us. So the act of abortion is sinful in every form, biblically, and it must be fought. And it is, in my opinion, I agree that abortion is murder. It is the killing of human beings. And so when I see the, you know, just young people protesting and standing there and shouting for women's rights, and then you've got, you know, people like, I follow a lot of Jeff Durbin and End Abortion Now
Ministry. They're big on that. They go right to the... They'll go preach right in front of the Supreme Court if they had to.
Yeah. And I really admire them for what they do. And just listening to those guys, and when they converse with people on the streets, and they catch them on the question of, aren't these babies being killed? Are you okay with that? You've got people saying, yeah, you know, we should have the freedom to kill babies. And that's what's happening. And so... If this law, I mean, this, as far as I understand this law, this law makes it a federal law. It makes it a constitutional right to abortion, right? It becomes a fundamental right that cannot be questioned by the states. And removing that seems to be, looking from afar, just knowing, you know, looking at the American Constitution, I think this law is opposed to the Constitution in every way, as I understand it, that it really needs to come off.
Yeah, I think, and you know, words matter. And in reading some of the opinion by Justice Alito, it's amazing. You know, you think about, and obviously, you know, we think about, but words do matter. And he said, basically, he says, in several passages, he describes doctors and nurses who terminate pregnancies as abortionists. You know, like, so, right. So that's a different word than where, the world kind of calls them abortion providers. You know what I'm saying? So right. When he, you know, so I looked at that because words are, they do matter, and he calls them abortionists over against abortion providers. So, and I think, so if you look at all this theologically, everything, whether it's same-sex marriage, whether it's abortion, all of it comes against, is against the mandates of God. All of it. It's all against the God-ordained relationship of marriage between man and woman. I mean, think about the child that you have right now that's sleeping in the other room. I mean, how many times have you told me that you just, you know, you look at that baby and you got to just thank them. Who do you thank? And then, and we know that that baby is a baby at conception. I mean, and you just, it's just, how can somebody just want to say my body, my choice and think about that? I just don't get it, Pastor Michael. I just don't. It's just, it's sickening. It really is.
Absolutely. In my own personal opinion, you know, take it or leave it, but in my personal opinion,
I'm going to take it.
COVID, in many ways, I believe, is God's damnation upon a world that's killing babies.
Mm.
And it is a very, you know, and I keep thinking about it. Evil regimes will always fall. It's been historical. It's always happened.
Yeah.
The righteous will prevail. The remnant will last. The God's people will make it to the promised land. And the evil will be purged from our midst. And if I can quote Doug Wilson here, stupidity is not a long-term solution. And so you will see these regimes crumble. And we just have to stick with the word, with the truth, and knowing that our Lord is King. He's mm-hmm. the ruler of the earth. He's the ruler of the heavens and the earth. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. We go, therefore, and preach the gospel, baptizing the nations, knowing that he is our King who has all authority, and he has sent us. And so Jesus will exercise his authority, and he will subdue all his enemies. The Father will subdue all the enemies under the feet of Christ. And so we know that's happening. We know that will happen. We just have to be faithful and fight. And we will see these kind of things crumble. We will see things turn around. And I feel in many ways the West is burning down the house. And Christians who are faithful will rebuild it.
You almost convinced me to be a post-millennialist. Well, we're just about out of time. This is a blessing. So, and we basically came on today just to talk about, well, just we're never lost for words. But anyway, listen, Pastor Grimaldi at Gmail, anything you want to ask. It's always an honor to interact with you guys. Again, this is how me and Pastor Michael do it. We take theology and we bring it to the streets. So next time, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for Street Talk Theology with Pastor Dominic Grimaldi. You can visit Pastor Dom at Desert Sky Baptist Church at 891 West Corson Road, Casa Grande. And for more information, visit us online at www.desertskybaptist.org.